Welcome, everyone, to Soapy. I'm Rebecca Budding.
And I'm Greg Rickhart.
And today, I'm super excited because we have one of the breakout stars from Beyond the Gates. Brandon Claiborne is here.
That's right. Beyond the Gates, of course, created by a friend of the pod, Michelle Valjean.
Yeah, and they shoot in Atlanta, so I'm super excited that he's here in LA.
This is a first for us. We've had...
Carla Moseley.
We had Carla Moseley, but this is our first in-person cast member from Beyond the Gates here on Soapy. Before we get to him, you look smashing today, Rebecca.
Do I look like a 90s Prada ad?
You look great.
All vintage.
Special thanks to Karina, right?
Doesn't that come from? Yes, Karina, who did my makeup and hair. She brought in all of her vintage wear, so I'm super excited.
And I also want to thank you for the delicious cherry pie you made for the crew.
Wow. What's with the compliments? I'm waiting for the insults. Okay, let's talk about Brandon.
Yes.
Can we please? Because his character is...
Breakout star.
Yeah, but his character is gay, a father, a politician. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot there. And he's also, they did a crossover with The Young and the Restless, and I hear his character was sort of like a pivotal character.
Well, we're going to talk about all of that and more with our pal, Brandon Claiborne, as soon as we come back. Claiborne, welcome to the pod.
Yes, thank you guys for having me.
We're thrilled to have you here.
You look beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
And
thank
he smells amazing, you guys.
I know. I gotta figure out what he's so good.
So, you are our first in-person cast member of Beyond the Gates to have on the show.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you for having me.
We had Carla season one, but she was in Atlanta.
She was in Atlanta. So we're thrilled to have Michelle, and we've had Sheila Duxworth.
So I didn't know.
We've had them here, but
yeah.
We had Jerisa in New York.
Oh, yeah, we had Jerisa in New York.
Love Jerisa.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's so good.
I started at The Bold and the Beautiful, and Jerisa was our head costume designer.
Three-time Emmy winner.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah.
And then she left, and I was like, oh, she was so good. And I was...
Yeah.
I mean, it made sense for her.
All the castmates, they use her, you know, personally, too.
Yeah, I would, too.
I feel like I was just saying... I think it was at the NAACP Awards where so many of the actors were wearing her designs.
Yes.
And I feel like Nikki Bell, you know, he does those videos where he critiques what everybody's wearing on the red carpet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's really clever and charming. And I feel like he was critiquing a lot of her designs in a positive way.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
Okay, wait. We'll get to Beyond the Gates.
Yes.
I have a bone to pick with you because I slid into the DMs because I wanted to find and had a tough time finding Free to Be.
Free to Be,
I was looking for it,
and I asked you for it, and
wanted to watch it before we met.
Well, sorry, when did you hit me up?
I don't know, a couple of days ago, but you'll have to just tell us about it.
Okay.
And then send it to us when you leave the studio.
Of course.
Please do.
Well, Free to Be is a documentary short that I produced with my producing partner, Eugene Stokes, during the pandemic. And that was a time where, of course, we couldn't act. We couldn't be in front of the camera. So I needed something to wake me up every day. And at the time, my producing partner was like, I feel like I should work on this project about four individuals, a part of the LGBTQIA plus community, and their fight for social justice, equal rights. And you know, she's just telling me more about the project. And I was like, I think this could change a lot of people's lives. And so I hopped on board and I learned so much about the trans community and how they were killed in the highest number community that we didn't know about as far as, you know, a nation.
Yeah.
You know, it's not talked about on major networks. It's not talked about in the news. And for me, it was sad.
Yeah.
And I think...
Still happening, by the way.
Still happening. And I think people needed to know what was going on and to see their humanity. So Free to Be came out in 2020 or 2021, I believe. And it was in 27 different film festivals. Touched so many people's lives. We won money, awards. And... I'm just happy that people connected with it. And you can find it on YouTube now.
I was going to say, where can we watch it?
We looked for it on YouTube.
Yeah, just Free to Be Film.
Free to Be Film.
Oh,
film. I think I did Free to Be Documentary.
Free to Be Documentary.
Okay. Yeah, because everything else pops up, but Free to Be Film and you'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So, thanks for putting that out in the world. That's important stuff.
Yeah.
it was needed.
Yeah.
It was needed, especially during that time.
It sounds like you are passionate about causes that maybe need a voice. I mean, you're using your celebrity to bring awareness to Alzheimer's because your whole family is sort of affected by Alzheimer's. Is that right?
Yes. My grandmother, a cousin in my family has been affected by Alzheimer's. And, you know, it's affected me. And so the things that I like to bring to the forefront are things that have really touched me in my life. And I know there are other people out there that just need to know that it's okay, you know, and we can get through it.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Beyond the gates.
Let's talk about your journey.
Will you start
at the beginning of like how this project came into your orbit? And I mean,
I love this story because I think you were kind of feeling like you had to move. Something was telling you and you called your... Anyway, it's a lot. I'm going to let you tell the story.
Well, first of all, I love that you guys have done your homework. Oh,
we have to do some research. Yeah. Which is, by the way, like... We have friends who come on who we know really well, and that's always great to connect with people you haven't seen in a while. But I get more excited when it's someone who I haven't known prior to today. And so getting to do the work and learning about you has been really fun.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, guys. Well, first, I saw in the trades that a new soap opera was coming about with Michelle Valjean and Sheila Duxworth. And at the time, it was just called The Gates.
Right.
Not Beyond the Gates, just The Gates. And I called my manager at the time, Tim Taylor, and I told him, this project seems like it's going to be historical. I think it's going to be amazing. I think it's going to touch a lot of people. I need to be a part of it. And he looks at me, he's like, Brandon, we don't have any breakdowns. We don't know any characters. I was like, well, when it comes out, submit me for it. And he was like, okay, I got you.
Can I ask,
yes.
Did you grow up watching soaps?
I did with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Young and the Restless. Young and the Restless.
Mm-hmm. Young and the Restless. Oh, and then you get to do this crossover. I can't wait to talk about it. Okay, yes. I just wanted to know that. Because, you know, some people are like, I don't want to do a soap, but...
I always wanted to do a soap.
Really?
As a matter of fact, I went out for Young and the Restless first. But we'll talk about it in a minute.
We have a lot of time.
But with Beyond the Gates, months down the road, my manager says, hey, Brandon, 5 roles have been released. They're all women. You're not, you know, good for the role just yet. but he says, I feel like something will come up for you shortly. It comes up. At the time, I believe Martin was named Marcus. And he was like, Brandon, get this on tape, send it in. I do my thing. I was like, this is a great role. I'll do my thing and, you know, let it go.
Who was or who is casting?
Kim Coleman.
Kim Coleman did the... From the beginning and
from
still
the beginning.
Casting director?
And still the casting director. Shout out to Kim Coleman. Love you. and I let it go. I didn't think about it anymore. But at the time, Tim was telling me, he's like, Brandon, if you book this role, you have to move to Atlanta. And I was like, no, I'm not. Because I just got a new apartment here in L.A. I could see Hollywood. I could see downtown. It was a penthouse. And I said, I worked so hard to be here. I was like, I'm not leaving for Atlanta. He said, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. He was like, let's just, you know, send the tape in. Months down the road, I couldn't sleep one night. I couldn't sleep. Like something was just like bothering me. And I was like, I got to hit Tim up because I think it's time for me to move. I don't know. Call it intuition. Call it God. I don't know. But something was stirring in me. So I hit Tim up. I said, Tim, can you give me a call? He said, yeah, I'll call you in 10 minutes. He calls me in 10 minutes. I said, Tim, I know we talked about months ago about the show called The Gates. I said, I know we haven't heard anything, but something is telling me that I have to surrender. I have to let whatever I've accomplished in LA go because something is better. Something better is coming. Tim says, Brandon, I thought someone called you. I thought someone told you that you booked the role. I said, what? He said, no, you literally booked the role. Kim Coleman called me 10 minutes before your text message to tell me that she's sending over a contract for you for the role of Martin Richardson.
Oh, my God.
I was in my kitchen and I said, Tim, it's amazing. And I hung up and I just cried and I just bawled.
because like, bye bye view.
I know.
Bye bye downtown.
Yeah, I looked around my apartment. I gotta go. Yeah.
That's a fantastic story.
Thank you. Thank you.
Were you excited to be in Atlanta? Because you're from Tennessee, am I correct?
Yes.
Do you still have family there?
I do.
So it's a little closer. It's like kind of nice because you're in that vicinity.
Yeah,
right?
And I get to see a lot of family members now.
You'd probably also, though, created a community here in LA, and I'm sure that wasn't easy to just pack up and leave, right?
Yeah, I mean, because I've been in LA for 10 plus years, yeah. So my foundation, my people are still here. Yeah. But I had to surrender, and I had to say, you know, go to Atlanta and enjoy it. And I love Atlanta. Like, it's been awesome. Yeah, it's a great journey. Totally different from LA, but I try not to compare.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything like Los Angeles.
By the way,
not at all.
One of my favorite expressions is bloom where you're planted.
Mm-hmm.
And you can thrive and you know, LA can be wonderful even if you're not here. And yeah. If your journey calls you to be somewhere else, just bloom there.
Yeah. It's been amazing. From the castmates that I have, they're from Atlanta.
Oh.
You know, and we they're go amazing. Out, we eat and drink, have a good time.
I have
so
heard
it's
just peripherally, I have a friend who's friends with John Lindstrom who says
yes.
It is like one, I think the best set he's ever been on. He said everyone is like super supportive and like will come out and set and be like, that was amazing. Yeah. And like, it's like this really wonderful, warm set.
And when we did the crossover with Young and the Restless, they spoke about all of these things. And we still have to put it back in perspective because, you know, we weren't necessarily working in Los Angeles on other soaps. I did with the General Hospital.
What was your arc like? Were you there for a while at General Hospital?
Actually, I was there for a short moment.
Okay.
It was supposed to turn into something else, but it was during the strike.
Oh.
And so writers
but
changed
you know
everything. You know,
everything
so.
Happens the way it's supposed to.
Exactly. Mm. I didn't know it then, but, you know, because I kind of called my agent at the time and I said, lose my number.
Hey, we've all been there. We've all been there. Because you never know in the moment, you know. When things are hard, but it's the reminder that there's a reason why the things that don't work out.
And we were both just watching something with Tamara Tooney who said, every no leads to a yes.
Yeah.
And
it's so true.
Yeah, my grand, you know, legend. So
I mean, I know you work with these incredible people, Clifton Davis, Tamara Tooney. What's the biggest piece of advice that they've given you or that you've learned from them?
Their professionalism. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, just on top of it. They know their lines. They come in, you know, they know their intention and what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love the most, the stories that they have, you know, because they have years mm-hmm. of stories.
Oh,
with
no joke.
Everyone.
I know. I'm sure it's amazing.
You know, I can sit back and listen to Clifton talk about Jackson 5 or Quincy Jones or, you know, like, It's endless with him. So it's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Also, going back to what you were both just talking about with regard to what a wonderful set it is, I don't know if because you're outside of the bubble here in Los Angeles where the rest of the shows and the rest of the genre mm-hmm. is sort of happening, but and we were talking about this before the cameras were rolling about all boats rising with the tide.
Yes.
And the enthusiasm around the launch of your show was not just about your show. I mean, it was absolutely about your show in so far as it being historic
mm-hmm.
And being the first new soap in over 25 years and the first all black 1 hour daytime drama, all of the things that make it incredible. But also for so long, we had been told the story that soaps were
were
this dying genre.
Yeah.
And here you guys come and the fanfare is just, it was palpable here in Los Angeles and everybody has been rooting for the show and it's wonderful and you're also incredible.
Thank you.
But I don't know if that was something that percolated and if you guys were all aware of that in Atlanta.
We were.
Okay.
We were because we saw a lot of videos from social media and people just saying, congratulations, we're rooting for you. And, you know, to have that in the soap world,
promo during an NFL playoff game.
Which had never happened before.
Never happened before.
For a soap opera.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
I know. it's pretty amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. I have to pinch myself as well. You know, I was up for a role on Young and the Restless.
Which one? Or do you not? You don't have to say
it. No, I can say. It was the love interest for Michelle Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
But during that time, some things happened behind the scenes and my contract went up in thin air. Mm. So that was another time when I called my agent manager and told them to lose my number.
But with all due respect to your agent manager, it's not their fault, right?
No, they're not in charge of the
comings and goings.
No, not at all. But, you know, we go through so much, from auditions to the callbacks, chemistry reads, you know. So you're being built up so much and that letdown is a lot. And it's just kind of like, I need some time.
In the beginning, I think sort of when you feel the momentum of your career really starting to ramp up and then to get so close on those jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to the beginning of mine, when I was waiting tables and barely paying my rent and then getting contracts for, you know, I would make a year's worth of the salary I'd make in a year at the restaurant for a pilot episode. And you sign the contract and it's this close and then you don't get it. It's heartbreaking.
For those that don't know, you sign the contract before you test.
Yes.
So you know
Even if you don't get the job, you could make all this money.
And you're like, yay! Yeah. And then you have to audition and then you don't get it.
Oh,
you're
trust
like,
me.
Well, what was that for?
I just got a new apartment and I was in Crate and Barrel and CB2 and picking out all my furniture. I want that. I thought I was Michael Jackson. I was like, yeah, this, that. That's perfect.
Well, you got to connect with The Young and the Restless, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I guess years later, I don't know how long, but you got to do this crossover event, and apparently your character is instrumental in that event. Can you tell us?
Tell us about Martin and tell us about the crossover.
Well, Martin basically has a fundraiser.
Because he's a politician.
He's a politician, and you know, and he has primaries, a primary that's coming up. And that's when everyone comes to town. And they get to see.
Because isn't Victor brought on to give like a keynote speech at a fundraiser?
Yeah, he's the speaker. And, you know, I don't want to give too much, but I know the fans are going to be so excited. Like, they're not going to be expecting anything that's about to go down.
But so, who are you most excited to work with from The Young and the Restless?
Eric. I mean, because, you know, whenever you say Young and the Restless, like your family, Victor Newman? Is Victor Newman coming? Victor Newman. Yeah, so it's a thing.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but everybody was great. They were just so awesome. But they put it back in perspective of what we were doing, you know, in Atlanta, because they was like, this is unheard of. You know, we have a brand new set. And, you know, soaps have been going on for years, 50, 60 years. And they was just like, you guys have got it like awesome out here. And I was like, well, thank you. I was like, we don't know sometimes because we're working so hard. We get lost in the shuffle sometimes. But it's great. It's great.
And so your character he's a congressman, yes?
Yes.
And from a storytelling point of view, because I know you don't want to alienate any portion of your audience that maybe politically doesn't line up with where, but do they sort of like, do they get specific on what your congressman stands for? Like, is he associated with a political party?
Not necessarily. But I can say that he's more of a conservative liberal, if that makes sense.
that covers the spectrum.
Yeah, you know, not so progressive, you know, but at the same time, he is down for the community and making sure that they are okay.
And he's a married man and he's got two kids, right?
Yeah. Awesome. Samantha and Tyrell.
Having kids on the show, does that make you want to have kids? And, you know, when you're working with kids, sometimes you get the bug.
No.
Not at all.
No. But, you know, it's taught me so much because I really had to write down a biography for Martin and just talk about the love that he has for his husband, the love that he has for his kids. Because it's a type of love that I necessarily haven't experienced in my real life. So these things, I had to really like sit down and write pages and pages of why I love these humans so much. And it's been great being that vulnerable, you know, with your castmates is awesome. So,
yeah, it's a really fun. That. And also that we get to really sort of explore these characters in such a way where we're not there for 6 episodes or 10 episodes, but you know, the journey, the emotional journey and the growth that these characters have that we get to have with them by mm-hmm. portraying them is something so unique to these jobs that we have, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. Shout out to my kids and my husband.
Can we talk about, your YouTube?
Yes.
You had a YouTube show.
Yes.
We kind of briefly talked about it before we started. But.
Yeah. So, and that was another project during the pandemic.
You were busy.
You were the one
busy person.
Well, I had to stay busy. You know, at that time,
yeah,
you know,
I know,
we could get depressed and in the dumps. Yes. So I had to keep myself busy. And I created a show called The Actor's Break. And it was all about these young and up and coming actors who had just had their major break in the industry. Now, a lot of these people I knew before, like, because we've kind of grown up together. But I feel like that was so long ago. But now that I'm sitting here, this has been, Beyond the Gates has been my major break. And now I'm on Soapy. Look at here.
Hey. Okay, wait. So what's a question or two that you would like to ask your guests when they were on your show that we have not asked you yet that you want us to?
Did you see this? Did you see this in your future? That was one for me that I felt like people have to be very specific in what they want. And I would always ask, did you see yourself here?
Did you? Because weren't you like 5 years old watching commercials and decided that's what I want to do?
You're good, Rebecca.
No, I'm not. Oh yeah. Tell me.
She's
done her homework.
But really what, you know, you're a young child watching commercials and saying, this is what I want to do. That's pretty young. So you saw it. Did you see it?
I did. I knew at a very young age, this is what I wanted to do. And I told my mom and she's like, yeah, that's great. But we live in Tennessee. Sit down.
You're blocking the TV.
Yeah. But my parents, so supportive. You know, I started acting in plays in church and I started playing tennis. I got taller, skinnier. You should model. And I was like, OK, I'll do modeling for a little bit.
I
always knew.
In L.A.?
Well, I started in Atlanta, actually. Funny. Years ago, mm-hmm. I was with Elite Model Management. And then I went to Chicago, Dallas, and then L.A. Yeah.
And you still play tennis, don't you?
I still play tennis.
Do you play pickleball, too?
No.
Thank God.
No. We don't.
This is what I say.
Real tennis players, we hate
That's
pickleball.
Not true. That is not true. I am going to defend pickleball right here because we had Eileen Davidson on the show and her husband was a ranked tennis player who beat John McEnroe.
He did beat John McEnroe.
And he is
and he's a fan.
And he's a pickleball player.
Pickleball.
Okay. And
we will convert you.
How old is he?
How dare you? He's older.
Older. Okay. Yeah. And here's the thing. You know, I mean, we give pickleball a bad rap, but at the same time, it's really because they take some of our courts.
Yes.
And their lines confuse us when we're playing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
I have to say, I'm a tennis player who also plays pickleball. I like a dedicated pickleball court.
Because
the lines mess me up too.
Yeah. But, you know, to all the pickleball players, we love you too.
Who do you play with in Atlanta? Do you have friends from the cast?
I don't think anyone. Oh, Clifton plays.
Oh.
Clifton plays. Yeah, we want to go to Wimbledon. Clifton, if you hear me, let's go.
Also, the U.S. Open airs on CBS.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah. I was there last year.
Oh, yeah.
So I was able to see Venus Williams and Carlos Alcaraz.
Oh, my gosh.
It was awesome.
Wow. Incredible.
So good.
He's like, been there, done that, Carl. Well, you didn't do your homework.
I did not do my homework.
No. I know he went to the U.S. Open.
You did not.
Yeah, I will show you my notes.
So good, anyway. Rebecca. I love it.
I'll see myself out, guys.
No, Greg. But I actually have some friends that moved from L.A., in Atlanta, and so I play with them sometimes. Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, but I have a whole crew that's here, and they want me to play this weekend with them. But I got to get
you're busy.
Back
you
to
got
work.
Pickleball with yeah. me right after this.
Oh,
okay. Wait. So, so you said that a question that you ask is if they saw this, and you said that you did see it for yourself. But I'm always like, I think I saw a career mm-hmm. for myself, and I knew that I would find success. But did you? The specificity of like how specific was the goal for you, and how close to that target do you feel like you have come? Like I never bullseye. Saw myself on a, I didn't see myself on a soap opera. I'm thrilled. I love my career. But it was more just like, I just want to move to LA and we'll figure out what happens once I get there.
No, for me, it was like, I hit the bullseye.
Incredible.
My acting coach, Faith Rumor, she told me years ago, you have to be very specific in what you want. Mm-hmm. And you have to be careful, because if you ask for something and you know, and it's just broad or vague, then the universe will, you know, attract all of these things to you and you didn't necessarily want them. So she mm-hmm. said, be very specific in what you want. And I said, I want to be on a television show. I want to be a series regular. And I wrote all of these things down, yeah. you know, and I could see this like weekly. And every day you're doing something to get to that level. You're yeah. doing something to get to that ultimate goal. My mom always says, keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that's what I did, you know, and, you know, I'm just happy to be here.
We're happy to have you.
Okay. We have some fan questions.
Fan questions.
Yes.
Because we reach out to our fans and okay. It's pretty self-explanatory. Okay. What behind the scenes moment from filming Beyond the Gates will you never forget?
That I will never forget behind the scenes. This is a sad moment. It was a sad moment, but I'll never forget when Clifton found out that Quincy Jones had passed mm-hmm. because they were really friends. It shook us all because he didn't know from hearing the news or anything like that. He actually heard on set. And so I'll never forget that day because that was a lot for us, like mm-hmm. for everyone. Yeah.
But I'm glad you guys were all there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That and you loved him so much that you were like all felt his pain.
For sure.
And also, I mean, Quincy Jones was
you know, a legend.
A legend.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. And you know, during that scene, we were actually, you know, it was grandfather and grandson. And it was a nice scene. But just to see his professionalism, he was like, OK, I've had a moment. Let's knock this scene out. I'll never forget.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Wow.
Yeah.
OK. Question?
Yeah, that's a great answer, though. I don't know where to go.
I know. I kind of don't want to ask anything.
Sorry, okay,
well,
sorry.
How about,
come on,
how about
come
this?
On.
This is like a two for one.
Yes.
If there were a BTG spinoff, is there an angle or a part of Martin's life that you would like to explore outside the political world? And then the follow-up to that is, and did you do anything specific to prepare for the role of playing a congressman with presidential ambitions?
Okay. The first part of the role, a spinoff, you know, I think Martin is, you know, pretty straight lace and, you know, has his family and everything. But Brandon is more for the streets. And, you know, and I would love to see Martin go live his life outside of his family.
You know, I always say you always bring a part of you can't help but bring a part of yourself to whatever role you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure that Martin's got some.
I mean, look at these political people. They get knocked off their pedestal. So he could have done something really, 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 really bad.
And yeah.
There's still time for him to do things.
He's done bad things already.
He's done bad things. But I'm saying, yeah, I know. I know what he's done. But
yeah.
But he could do worse.
Yes, well, of course.
He could do as bad.
Perhaps. Or as bad, yeah.
Yes. And getting ready for the role, you know, sometimes I believe things are just meant to be. For years, I've been called a politician. And I've been called a politician just because I speak to everyone in the room. I go up and shake your hand. I talk to everyone, greet them. Good morning. One of my friends, his grandfather used to call me Senator. every time he said, "Hey, Senator, how are you?" I was like, "Why do you call me Senator?" He was like, "Because you're a bullshitter." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he was like, "No, because you really like listen to people and ask them how they're doing." And he's like, "I know you're doing this sincerely, but as a politician, you know, it seems like maybe you're doing this to get ahead." And I was like, "Well, trust me, I'm not." I was like, "This is just me. I'm a Southerner from Memphis, Tennessee, and that's all I know." So, yeah.
You do possess, though, like a self-confidence, like someone that could be...
Yeah, I'm
Kim saw that when she cast you. She knew.
She knew.
What about, like, not to bring it down for a sec, but has the response to your character, has it all been positive, or have you faced any sort of latent homophobia from any of the fans of the show?
I faced... you know, all the things. It's good, bad, and ugly. But I feel like that's what you're supposed to do, you know, as an actor. And, you know, with the story that I've been given, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Because another thing is you also want the fans to fall in love with the journey. Not just the character. You know, we have no control over that. But... see the ebbs and flows and just know that this is a human being that goes through heartbreak, loss, love, you know, success. Mm-hmm. And for us, we have money, thank God, to you know, have access and power, you know.
That just certainly makes things easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I play a gay character on Days of Our Lives who's... so he's messy. He's a bit of a villain. By the way, that was a politician's answer. So good job.
Oh my! that was a politician's answer.
But when I would get criticism for people saying that he was a bad portrayal of a gay character insofar as not necessarily moving the needle forward, and I would argue like that's full equality there. To have a messy gay villain is showing that we don't just have to be a two-dimensional follow all the rules character, but we can have someone who is messy and makes mistakes and does bad things and just happens to be gay.
For sure. Yeah. And I think that's one thing that I loved about Beyond the Gates when it came to Martin. No one knew he was gay until his husband just showed up one day. But it's nothing to talk about. Yeah. You know, his family knows, you know, and loves him dearly. And that was it. Yeah. And I love that it wasn't a big whoop to do, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay, one last question.
Yes.
I think, unless you have another one.
No, go for it. She's the one who's done all the research,
Greg,
right?
Cut it out. Stop it.
Okay, so you've done Grey's Anatomy,
yes.
GH, SWAT, 911.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of commercials.
Yes.
Tyler Perry Project.
Yes.
What early job taught you a lesson that you still use every day on set?
911. I think it was, I'm forgetting the actor's name. What's it? Peter?
Peter Krause?
Yes, it was Peter. You're good, Greg.
See, you do. Oh, wow.
Look at
you. I've been waiting an hour for something.
Look at you.
He's going to be so pissed. You didn't tell me he went to the U.S. Open. Anyway.
We talked on set, and he told me once, he said, "Brandon, take in every job that you have." He said, "There are going to be some great ones, and there are going to be some not so great ones." He said, "But recognize when it's really good." And that just set with me. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I have to remember this. Because once again, we're on the go and we're so busy, like sometimes we don't take in the moment and just sit back, relax, and say, you know what? This is awesome. This is so, so incredible. And I'm just happy to be here in this moment.
And it's just, you know, we both have careers and children and families and life moves fast. And I always try to take that moment when I'm pulling onto the lot and just a moment of like that. Cause it's sometimes it's hard to stop and smell the roses and really ground yourself in gratitude and appreciation. But yeah. It sounds like you're doing great.
And I have so much appreciation for you guys kids and, you know, spouses and everything. Because guess what? I've said once again, I am for the streets. And I'm just happy to be out and about alone and single. You know, I say I'm alone, but I'm not lonely.
Okay.
Good. That's good to know. Yeah. I doubt you are.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, really. Okay.
Thank you for
you're
being
fantastic.
Here.
No, thank
you're
fantastic. It's
amazing
to have you here. Thanks for being with us and spending some time.
Tell everyone in Atlanta we said hello. You work with so many. Julie Carruthers was my producer on All My Children.
Oh, really?
I love the woman.
And Nadine
Aronson.
Oh, really?
Stephen Williford was a director. Tony Pasquarelli works with me at Bold and Beautiful.
This is a full circle. Yeah. I can't wait to tell them.
A lot of people down there.
Both of our love to everybody there, and we want to come visit you guys. So
please come.
Okay, you can watch our pal here on Beyond the Gates weekdays on CBS, or you can stream on Paramount Plus. You can watch this episode or any other episode of Soapy that you may have missed on the CBS YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcast. And thanks so much for being with us, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yay!
Dude,
thank you guys.
Amazing.
That was amazing.